baby.
Yes, sir.
Season 6, episode 2.
Episode dos.
Took a little week off, but we're back.
And he took a week off, man.
We're always coming back.
Feeling a little bit under the weather last week. So.
Hey, but you're good now.
Yeah, we had to
push
it.
Can't get you sick out here.
Yeah. Man, I bounced back.
All right, man.
You know that song by Big Sean? Where it's like last night took it.
Yo. Okay, what happened to Big Sean, man? I know he's a father and all that right now, but like.
Man, I don't know.
You know what I mean?
He faded in the background, bro.
Like, before we get into it, do you feel like he's on the level of the big three? Like, do you think he's, like, the fourth?
Big Sean and compared to, like, Drake.
Yeah.
Because
he came
Cole
around the same
Kendrick
time.
Lamar.
Yeah, do you think he's, like, the fourth there, or he's, like, not even close?
Bro, he's, like, not even in the same realm.
Yeah, he's, like, number seven.
You think that you...
No, but I think the argument can be made that he's, like, he's close. He's up there. Or he was at some point.
At some point, he was relatively
big. They were all coming
big.
Up together, and they were like, I kind of feel like
bro,
he was not
in that conversation. He was like a solid, like, six man of the year kind of player.
Yeah,
you know what
maybe,
I mean?
Maybe.
Never, like, for me, I never listened to, like, a Big Sean only song. And if I did, it was, like, maybe
really?
One or two.
Damn.
But, like, he was always featured on a song versus,
sure.
like... Didn't somebody say like
Detroit
the worst decision?
Fired,
Kanye West is saying like the
was signing Big Sean.
Yeah,
that's like, when he was going through. Well, he's still going through some stuff. But yeah, you know, I mean, let us know in the chat if you think Big Sean is part of that three-headed monster. You know, but we are back, episode 2, season 6.
Yes,
we've
sir.
Been doing it 6 years, which is crazy.
Yep.
What have you been up to, Malik? It's been about a week and a little bit. Same old, just
spent a family day weekend, you know, in Montreal.
Yep.
I went home. On the way to Montreal, I stopped in Ottawa, took my mom out for a nice little brunch.
Nice. McDonald's?
Yeah, treated her to...
value menu type.
No, bro, I treated her to Subway this time. Bro.
Oh, nice.
Come on,
okay,
man.
Yeah,
like,
leg up. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, come on.
Meatball
man.
Marinara.
I'm a classy guy, bro. And you know what? It wasn't even sub... We didn't even... I didn't even make her get the sub of the day. You know what I mean? I let her choose.
Extra money.
Yeah, I let her choose.
Right. Bonus
I'm a classy
season.
Guy.
Yep.
No, in all honesty. took her out for brunch, went to Montreal, raged with some of my like, really, really close friends.
Yeah, yeah.
Just enjoyed it. Love going there. Sweet city, super fun.
Love Montreal.
Food's great.
Yeah,
it's like it's
cold,
really
cold. It was cold.
It was freezing, man.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna lie. And it was like there was mad snow on the ground too,
true,
so
true.
It was kind of tough.
Yeah.
But honestly, overall, pretty solid. How were you?
Yeah. Basically chilled all weekend. I went to the AGO on Friday.
Oh shit!
I saw this exhibit called Life Between Islands. I think it's like showcasing 1950s like Caribbean culture.
Sick.
It's like pretty dope exhibit. I would tell people to go check out. They have just like the furniture that I would have seen from like my grandma, you know what I mean?
Oh,
and,
cool.
The living room is set up a certain way and
that's
I'm like
sick.
Oh, okay, cool. So something to check out for sure. Other than that, we did some stuff together last week. You know, we were at the Advertising and Marketing Communications Networking event.
Yes, sir.
You know, shout out
to ADMC, man. Shout out to ADMC.
Yeah. We graduated 2016. Feels like forever ago.
Yeah. 10 years since we started, man. 10 years since we started.
Since I met Malik, pretty much. Yeah.
Lucky you.
Bro. Yeah. No, we were those nervous students in 2016 at the networking event.
Yeah.
Palms are sweaty, knees weak, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Arms are heavy, waiting on the on the industry professionals to come through so we could talk to them.
To show up, yeah.
Yeah, now we're the industry.
Now we're the industry.
Quote unquote
somehow,
professionals.
Somehow we're the professionals. It was kind of jokes, man.
Let
like,
us in there, man.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
I love going to that thing every year because it's like, you know, we got to give back to the program, man.
Yeah,
shout out
to
Anna. Unfortunately, she couldn't be there because I think she busted a hip or something like that. I don't know. That's what I heard. Hopefully she's on the mend, though. I'm sure that's not very fun. But
yeah.
Back to the point. It's always interesting going to those things as like an alumni of the program because you put yourself in the shoes of the students.
Yeah.
And when you think about who you were when you were like doing that night, I remember being kind of nervous, but at the same time, like I didn't really put a lot of effort into the entire thing because I knew that I had a job already lined up.
I didn't
really have anything to like.
Yeah.
I didn't need to do anything.
Media experts, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I will say it's like good to see students trying to get on their hustle. You know?
Yeah, it's not easy, man.
Not easy,
yeah.
And it's like the hardest part about that was like walking up to a complete stranger and be like, hi, I want to like talk to you. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because you know it's just like very transactional at the end of the day.
Yeah.
There's one thing, one piece of feedback that I can give that whole thing was like, maybe switch up the format or something like that, or think about a new format, because I feel like not every student gets to like talk to you as an industry professional. And it's like, there's not really a system or structure set up in place other than just like going up to someone and being like, yo, what's up? You know what I mean?
It favors the extroverts every time.
Totally.
You know what I mean? But I don't know the other way. Like, is it like speed dating almost, like a way of talking to every single person? But then is that worth it? I don't know. I mean, because I felt the same way of like when we were doing the program of, as I can kind of turn on extroversion, I guess, in a way. And like that's when it benefits me. But you can see other students that are still very shy to talk to people.
Yeah, they were like, fuck. Like, they avoided you and shit like that. Like,
should you miss out on opportunity just because you're not more outgoing? Yeah. I don't know. You know?
Well, if I were to like redo the format or something like that, I would probably start with some like a main event. Like, people show up, people have like maybe a cocktail or like snacks or whatever, and then there should be like some type of like, like a keynote speaker or like a panel or something like that, where like
they did that one year,
you know, where like students can like sit down and like talk, or like maybe it's moderated by one of the students and it has like a few industry professionals, like whatever. It's like, oh, kind of introducing the people who are showing up, and then you let, you know, once the main event is over, and then you just like let it go and people
then
talk.
You can kind of talk about what happened on the panel.
Exactly.
Like, I think it would be cool to do like an alumni panel.
Yeah.
Like, where, not saying us, but like those alumni could be on the stage and like give almost advice as well.
Yeah.
For the students. Exactly. And then that event happens right after, you know? But we can talk to Anna, you know?
Yeah, don't steal my idea, Anna.
You
know what I mean?
We can figure that out. But
shout us to all the students at ADMC, man. It's like bright future. It's always good to talk to the next generation.
Facts,
you know what I mean?
And we're going to talk about like job market stuff later on, because that is a hot topic right now we need
Stay
to get into.
Tuned. Stay tuned.
But what else happened? NBA All-Star Weekend.
So soft.
That one, I think they got the most views like ever, just in terms of like, I think 11 million unique views they got over the weekend.
Oh, so that's sick. Nice.
You know, I wonder if like part of that was the three-point contest, because they bring in a bigger audience with Sabrina, a WNBA player in there. But what did you think of the event? I know you didn't watch the whole thing, but
I didn't watch the whole
socials and all that.
It was okay. Cool. Like, it's like general sentiment was like, what I caught was the like parts of the dunk contest.
Yeah.
Not really great. Like, I feel like it's like maybe they need to think of a new format or switch it up or something like that. But like the dunk contest is like one of the most exciting parts about All-Star Weekend. So if that flops, you're like, okay, you're really
what's
in trouble.
Going on? Yeah.
Exactly. But and then I caught a bit of the All-Star game itself.
Oh, man.
It was pretty boring, man. And
200
like,
points is crazy.
For me, though, bro, it's like it's just not interesting to me to watch those kinds of things. It's mainly meant for, like, kids or, like, you know, people. Like, there's no competition, really. So it's like you can tell, like, the team that wins is the team that, like, just wants to try harder than the other one. And that sounds very basic and elementary, but it's like – it's an attitude thing. Okay, do I want to get an MVP of the All-Star game?
Do you care?
Do I want to win this game? Okay, then we're gonna try and win. So overall, it was it wasn't the most exciting for me personally, but interested.
Same here. I mean, the All-Star game. I was talking to a coworker literally just today about it, where he's like, "Are we just like old men at this point, where we're reminiscing on the previous All-Star games, you know, when we felt like they were more exciting?" But like, for a 10-year-old or a 12-year-old watching now, do they find it exciting seeing LeBron, you know, kind of, or seeing seeing the players just kind of play around and just kind of toss things from the half court line? Is that super exciting for them? For us, it's like, I don't really like do more than that.
Yeah, maybe, know? I'm an old head.
Maybe we are. I don't know. Maybe they do cherish the dunk contest of this year. And for us, it's like, we've seen everything before already.
Yeah. So maybe it's not for us anymore.
Maybe it's not for us. But everyone's just jumping over Shaq.
Yeah, I'm like,
can we do something else?
They should jump over Wemby or something like that. That would have been a good, at least like something different. You know what I mean?
I wonder, because it's like, I don't know, so many things have been done. That, how do you still be creative with the dunk contest? You know, how do you do something that no one's seen before? I don't know, but you have a whole year to think about it, man.
Yeah, man. You gotta think about
that. You have a whole year to think about it. And people are dunking on YouTube and TikTok and doing crazy things, right? So steal some of those dunks.
You know, dude. Yeah. Like, steal a dunk or two, like whatever.
Take that shit.
Or just bring those people there. Like, I don't know, man.
Yeah. We'll see, man. We'll see.
Another big thing on the docket was Kanye West and Ty Dolla Sign released their latest album. And I'm going to start by saying right away here.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't listen to that shit anymore, bro. I don't listen to Kanye anymore, man. Like, sure. He fell off for me. Like, started to say
new Kanye, or do you listen to old Kanye still?
No, I don't really. Because it's hard for me, bro. Because I still think about, like, I really liked his music up until a certain point. Yeah. But for me, it was like the slavery was a choice comment where I was like, all right, this is where he lost me entirely. And he had said some like really weird shit like leading up to that. But then I'm like, I like can't contribute to this, man. Like, I can't listen to this shit anymore. And then obviously there's a lot of controversy with like some of the shit that he said around like Jewish people and stuff like that. And you're like, I just morally, this is getting into territory where I'm like, okay, I don't feel comfortable doing this anymore.
Yeah.
And like, nor do I need this. Like, there was a while where I was like, no, he's the best. He's like his music is good. And then it kind of got to a point where I'm like, man, I don't actually need this shit anymore. I'm like, I'm done like defending this. This is like, I'm going to listen to something that like, I feel is just like a little bit more appropriate. And especially with like the Trump stuff too. I'm like, I can't do this anymore, put it that way.
Yeah.
But it's apparently trended like as like a, I think one of the number, like top three albums or something like
it's
that.
It's going to every time.
Yeah. And it's like,
off the name alone, right?
Like there's a ton of like listens to like the whole album. And I'm like, there's a lot of features and stuff on it.
Yeah.
Like a super successful album just like could not be for me. I think like one of the things that we were talking about before this is that, like, people who still listen to Kanye, it's like, dude, like, I'm not here to judge another person whatsoever, but it's like, you kind of have to realize you're like, you're so okay with like pushing that shit to the side that like, you just rather listen to this. Where I'm coming from, it's like, people say, oh, separate the art from the artist or whatever. I'm like, I don't think you can really do that though.
Do you not?
Well, clearly I don't. Like, it's like, you know what I mean? Like, what you make is like, comes from you, right?
Yeah, but I guess, like, where do you draw the line? Like, we'll listen to rappers talk about the most heinous, like, activities that they do, you know, sliding on ops and killing people and, like, selling drugs to pregnant women. And, like, that's cool. But, like, talking about Trump is not, I don't know. It's, I don't know if that's, like, a blanket rule you can apply to every single artist, because then that gets really tricky.
Yeah, I think it's complex.
It's complex, right? But, I mean, to each their own. Like, for me, Kanye West, it's the least interested I've been to listen to a Kanye album. I actually haven't listened to it. Yeah, my friend sent me one song and I listened to it. I'm like, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, but I just know I love his old music and I'm going to continue listening to everything before Life of Pablo. After that, he's gone through this different. He's different. I don't know if anyone can even argue that. Like, the content, the lyrics are different. They feel way more immature now than ever before. It's just not hitting the same for me. So I'm like, I don't really need to go pursue his new music.
Yeah, it's like, I'm good, actually.
I'm good, yeah. I have enough before that, and I'm going to be cool. You know, Ty Dolla Sign is dope, but...
Hey, man, he's getting his, I guess.
He's getting his paycheck, you know, but... I mean, I don't even think we need to talk anything more about
Kanye. I'm good. I'm good on Kanye, bro.
Did you see the Who Did I Marry TikTok?
No.
You have any idea what this is?
No, no idea.
Holy shit. Okay, man. It's like a 50-part series, over 500 minutes long. So each of these videos, like a 50-part kind of playlist on TikTok.
Yeah.
Where this girl, I can't watch all of this, right? But people are. Where she's basically telling a story. I watched like a summary of it. She's telling a story about a man that she met who's kind of like a con artist. Like, he lied about his job. He lied about all these different things. And I don't know all of it, but... aside from the story, I think the idea of this is actually crazy. Like, she, you know, a lot of these videos have 10 million, 20 million views on each of these kind of parts. And it's a 50, I don't know if you can, like, fathom that. 50 parts, bro. 500 minutes. And people are watching them like podcasts, pretty much. Like,
what is it?
Washing the dishes. It's just a video of her in her car talking.
And it's just about, like, how she married this guy.
There's so many layers to it, apparently, where she's bringing up other characters, and he lied about the cousins that he has and his mom and how he, like, hurt her emotionally. And I don't know, bro, but I'm just like, how are you guys watching this?
Yeah, it's trippy.
And I'm like, is this like a sign for like long form TikToks potentially? Because like there's clearly an appetite for it if there's 10 million, 20 million, 30 million views on like every single video out of 50, bro.
I guess it depends on the on the actual content, right?
Yeah.
Like, that kind of sounds like a podcast almost.
Just in her car talk. Like, it's not particularly interesting. Like, I cycled through a few of the videos. Her voice is very monotone. She's just talking.
Right.
But it's an interesting story, I guess, that's captivating.
Right.
And she's a good storyteller. But I'm just like, 50 parts? I've never heard of that shit on TikTok.
Yeah, and like, that's a, I'm good, bro.
Tapping out.
That's
500 minutes?
Can you? There's not a lot of long form TikToks that I watch.
No, there's, if it's longer than 3 minutes, I usually, you know, pass out.
Unless it's like a crazy story.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I'm like, oh, and then you find out there's a part two at the end, and you're like, oh, no.
No, but I can't believe that. I think there's going to be more people that are going to start to try this because she's been so successful with it.
Right.
And TikTok has like a partnership paid program, and people are estimating she's probably made like upwards of 300k off of these videos.
Wow.
Which is crazy because it's the time spent and it's the views as well.
Dude, I need to like I need to figure out some like fake bullshit or something like that and just like
talk
and say that on it.
Who knows, man? Like 50 parts.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I don't know, but we'll report back on that next week because he's probably gonna keep going or do like a part two of the 50 part. I don't know. You know, but we'll get back to that. Something that we talked about in the beginning, though, was the job market.
It's tough out here, man.
And we wanted to jump in that. We are two employed people.
Yep.
Grateful for
very
employment.
Grateful. Very
because,
lucky.
You know, whether we're talking to students that are just graduating, I know people personally that have been looking for employment for almost a year.
Yeah.
Across very high demand, or what you would call high demand fields, like software engineering, you know, marketing, for example, things like that, you know, previously, not that it would be easy, but, you know, I don't think it would take like a year to find a job. But right now, especially with remote work, like there's just so much competition. A lot of companies, you know, simply financially can't, you know, afford to like increase the headcount by so much.
Yeah.
There's a lot of layoffs. It's just not a pretty market right now.
Yeah. Budgets for like staffing are being cut.
Yeah.
Right. And they're just like trying to like squeeze every single penny out of like the people working there. Kind of feels like it's like
something's happening.
Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? It's like a bubble's got to pop or something, because it's like cost of everything is going up. People are like losing their jobs and like, they're not hiring anybody.
No.
So like, this is kind of getting to a point where like, shit, man.
Yeah.
Like,
what should I
actually like don't have an option to do much here.
Yeah.
And I just saw like I saw that like Loblaws is creating like 7,500 jobs or something like that, which I'm like, that's sick, but like what jobs are those? You know what I mean? And like, I don't know. It's concerning for sure. Especially it's like, do you remember what it was like to be like a student just finishing school?
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, like how the fuck do I actually do anything with this? Cause I did that twice. Like, I finished university and I was
same.
Man, I straight up have no fucking clue what I want to do. True. And the thing that I do know is that I'm competing against 30,000 other students for probably like 10 jobs.
Yeah.
And that forced me to have to like go back to school and get into debt. That's why I went to Humber, because I was like, I got to get my shit figured out.
Something
here.
A bit more targeted.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a more generic.
Yeah,
not
like,
generic, but.
No, totally.
Yeah,
it's like the university degree that I got is probably the same as like 1,500 other regular students. Like, you know what I mean? It's like. Yeah.
And when that's all that's on your resume, it's like, how do they separate you from your classmates?
They probably
like,
look at the name and they say, this guy's a minority, so let's throw him in the fucking waste bin.
They're
probably like, okay, cool, throw that one in the shredder.
One down
100% recycled paper.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's
they probably turned that into the toilet paper that they use in the office. That I was
save
going,
money, man.
Exactly.
Save money. Recycle,
you
know. But yeah, I mean, even to that, like, I'm seeing a lot more content these days from like recruiters or like people that, you know, shout Jermaine Jupiter.
Shout out, that guy's fucking killing it, bro.
Advice for new grads or advice for like tailoring your resume and like how to beat the ATS, whatever they call it, the ATS tracking machine, or how to, you know, write the perfect cover letter. And I saw somebody tweet this or TikTok. I can't remember one of the two, but they're just like, aren't y'all exhausted?
Yeah, like.
Like, you have to gamify the system so much just to be noticed, right? Like, yeah. How do I beat this tracking machine? Or, like, just, how do I put the right keywords in my resume? And, like, how do I write the right cover letter and, like, hit up the right person on LinkedIn and, like, smooth them, you know, hit them up and then informational interview and then this and that. And it's like, yo.
It's like, damn. Like, back in the day, it was like, okay, like, apply or not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's impossible.
And it's nothing we're going to change. It's a bit of a rant. Like, obviously, nothing's going to be fixed by this conversation, but just the reality of what it is, and it's really unfortunate.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, students will talk to us, like, the networking event students as well, or when I go to the Brain Station events for people that are just graduating, and they're just, like, offloading their frustration, and it's like, I don't have a solve for you. Like, I'm going to listen to what you're saying. I didn't have the same struggle, you know, fortunately, because that was kind of, I guess I got employed during a better time, but I hear them, man. I'm just like, yo, like, I don't know how. I give them as much advice as I can, but it's really hard to stand out right now.
It's really, really hard, man. You know? But, like, I got to ask you an honest question. Like, when was the last time you used a cover letter for anything?
Yeah, 2019.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
That's man, I got to be honest. I don't know if I've ever been successfully, like, I guess, engaged through a cover letter or a resume. And there's, like, so many different
reviewing resumes, you mean?
No, like me trying to apply for a job.
I don't think
I've ever actually been successful, like, when the application is required a cover letter. So, like, maybe my cover letter's just dog shit, but like, when I read through it, I'm like, this is exactly what I think that I'm supposed to do.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's just kind of gotten to a point now where I'm like, man, if that shit requires it, and it's coming from a place of privilege, 100%. Because, like,
I agree with you, though.
I don't need to do all these steps to, like, have a conversation with somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of, like, my experience and equity that I've built in my industry.
100%. But,
like, in all honesty, bro, I'm not fucking doing that shit.
Bro, if it doesn't have that easy LinkedIn apply, like, I don't really apply to jobs, and that's how I got my current job and the job before that. Like, if you don't have that, if you don't make it as easy as possible for me to apply, I don't want to do the whole questionnaire where I got to fill out all these different scenario based questions and all that. I'm not doing that.
And also, it's just like when you have to, like, input the same information, like, almost like three different places, you're like, dude, if this is your way of, like, filtering me out of the process, that's fine. Because, like, I don't want to have to do all that shit.
Man, and then even when it comes to, this is just a rant at this point, but when it comes to, like, tech jobs, like, oftentimes they're, like, 4-5 rounds of interviews, right? Yeah. And I saw this tweet the other day where they're like, I've never been in a 5-round interview, you know, answering a question that couldn't be answered in the first or second interview.
Yeah.
Like, can we cut this shit down, please?
Yeah, yeah,
like,
honestly.
You're asking actually a lot from people, especially when that person's employed and then they're also interviewing.
Yeah.
It's like, yo, you're asking, like, 5 hours of my time.
Well, it's also, like, it's a waste of time for the interviewers as well.
Exactly.
It's like, just manage your stakeholders. Trim this shit up. Like, get a panel. Get, like, if you need 3 people interviewing one person.
Yeah.
Do it, save time, man. It's like,
I only have so many, like, doctor's appointments, man.
Yeah, dude. That's the hardest part. It's like, man, my benefits are running out, man. Yeah. It's like, your checks,
I'm doing dentist, chiropractor. I got all of these.
It's like, man, like,
it's rough.
That's the hardest part, man.
You have to
go through so many steps and so many layers. Avoid things. And, you know, it's really difficult for the students out there, man.
Do you see it getting better? Or is it going to get worse? Hard to predict, obviously.
But I think it'll get better.
Yeah.
I'm optimistic because I think, like, the way that people apply for jobs or the way that people get information about jobs will inherently be different. And I think that, like, LinkedIn's done actually a pretty good job of, like, building up their platform so it's, like, easier for people to interact with each other online. Yeah,
right.
I think there's other ways that people will probably apply for jobs in the future. Like, maybe it's, like, through a video application or it's a TikTok or something, like, I don't know, like, so it's like things like that. But the hardest part is, it's like, when I look at the industry just very recently, like, a few kind of, like, major tech companies have chopped some of their staff, like Google, Amazon,
Meta,
Meta. It's like it's just it's a trend, right? And yeah. like, man, it scares me because you're like, oh man, like there's clearly something going on that's that all of these different companies feel like they need to be like competitive and stuff with each other to like downsize or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, that sucks because like the people who are like part of like those organizations are the ones who like suffer the most.
You know what's crazy is fortunately I've never been in a situation where HR is letting me go, but because of TikTok now you can see people recording those calls.
Yeah.
I'm seeing a lot more of that. You're seeing it, right? Where they have an inkling that they're going to be fired, so they put their phone and they just record themselves. They don't record the Zoom. But you have the HR person just reading a script, very like monotone and very just like, you know, your services are no longer required, and it's like, yo, this shit is like ruthless.
Yeah, you're like, there's people on the other side of this.
There's people on the other side of this, and you know, and then they try to ask questions, but then the HR person doesn't have those answers, and they're like, we'll get back to you. And
yeah, like
it's a weird time where we can see all of that. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, like I'd almost rather them just be like, we don't have a legitimate chance, we don't have like a legitimate reason here.
Yeah.
The entire purpose behind this is to downscale and to like increase our profits.
Yeah, just tell me what it is.
And if that's it, then straight up, then it's like, okay, that's fucked. But like, at least I know the truth.
No jargon, no run around. Just like, kind of tell me what it is. Because a lot of what it is like they're overhiring, right?
Yeah.
They overhire and then
they're like, oh shit.
They're like, oh shit. Our projections are crazy, right? We got to let people go. But
yeah, which is like, I don't know. It's so unfair for like the people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, you created this problem. Like, it's not even a problem. Like, I'm doing the fucking job.
Yeah.
Anyways,
we could rant forever on it, right? But let's move on. We got some good topics to go through. AI. We always talk about AI.
Allen Iverson.
Shout out,
let's
Allen.
Let's go, man. He's taking over, bro.
Yes, sir.
Crazy. He's really done crazy.
You know, he's been last years. Year. Oh, whew, yeah. MVP year, man.
Yes, sir.
But we talked about like ChatGPT. We talked about GPT-4. All of that. You know, the idea of being able to write a prompt and then get like a response.
Yeah.
Now that, you know, the same company that created ChatGPT called OpenAI, they're launching something called Sora. And it's AI-generated videos. So it'll be up to 1 minute long videos where you can give it a prompt, a very detailed prompt, and it will create a video scene up to 1 minute. So on their website, they have a few different examples of, I won't read out the full prompt, but like it starts with, a stylish woman walks down a Tokyo street filled with warm, glowing neon and animated city signage. And they kind of keep going like about a paragraph of a prompt. And as you can imagine, it's kind of like a movie scene. And like the video I can show you after is like what you're probably picturing in your head
mm-hmm.
of like a professionally shot movie scene.
Yeah.
Up to 1 minute long of this woman walking through Tokyo. People are behind her. The lighting is beautiful. The lighting is accurate. And I'm just like, man.
Yeah, that's a role of a creative director right there.
Literally. Yeah. You just need to be really good at like describing things, right? Like what you want to see in terms of the neon sign around her, like the wind blowing. Like if you type it, it will give you a minute of that.
That's crazy.
And one thing to remember with AI, this is the worst it's ever going to be.
Yeah.
Tomorrow it's going to be better than it was yesterday.
It's
going
to be nasty. Yeah.
And I'm like, what's the future of that, man?
Yeah.
Like, can I go on the AI section on Netflix in 10 years and type in Top Boy with me as a lead?
A side character. Yeah.
Put me in Top Boy, you know, put Dakari Turner in Top Boy, and then I'll watch content that I'm wishing for or I'm initiating.
Very interesting. Very, very interesting. I think this is like really tricky because it's like okay, well, this tool is a creative service.
When you
think about it, and when I think about how this is like contextually relevant and let's call it like marketing or advertising, is that like this is basically the role of what like a creative director or an art director might do, kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
So I think the people who are like really smart working in this industry like right now are becoming like masters of like
prompts,
probably prompting,
yeah,
but then also like you're able to like manipulate what that I guess what that setting is. It's like I think there's like a real like talent that like can be used to harness this like tool and ability, because this to me is just like a more evolved version of Photoshop or like Adobe Premiere or anything where you like, okay, I manually have to create these little like scenes that we're describing here,
yeah,
and like mock something up. But instead I can actually use my computer now to like generate that through what my thinking is and then potentially manipulate that based on what's been put together.
Yeah.
And share that with a client, for example, of like what I want to do.
Yeah, like you can, what do you call it, like spec work almost, or like conceptual, you know, like where you can share this in a creative deck with a client and be like, here's a minute snippet of what we're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
We're obviously going to shoot this in a more realistic and better format, but this gives you a taste of what we're saying.
Exactly.
That's going to be now.
Yeah.
But then like 10 years, do you even need to do the... Do you need the videographer? Do you need the photographer?
If yeah,
you
can maybe just, it like, just gets so smart that it just like does it.
Type that shit. Because, yo, if we think 10 years, like this shit advanced so much in 1 year.
Yeah.
That 10 years from now, it's actually kind of scary. Like I think that I think we're going towards, it's already happening now. We're like, we're all creators in a sense now.
Yeah.
Like I even see it on TikTok of like when people do their day in the life.
Like, yeah, that shit's so funny. I'm like, man, I don't give a fuck.
We're making the most mundane things and creating content out of it. And I think everyone is like moving towards being a content creator in a way.
Yeah.
Whether you kind of accept it or not, like when you do travel recaps, like you're creating content.
Yeah.
Or obviously podcasts, you're creating content. And it's like, is it just going to become easier and easier? Can I just like type up a movie that I want to see, a short film, and then it'll show up? It won't be perfect, but like I can make edits to it and I can like create my own story. Am I going to create content I want to watch?
Which I think is like actually like pretty cool.
It's kind of cool, man.
And I don't think it's as like foreign as what you think it is, because like to me, like the version of that, of like what it was back in the day is like Snapchat, for example, was kind of like that. You know what I mean? Where kinda, you have all these stupid filters and stuff like that. Like you are the creator and you can manipulate your surroundings to add a level of creativity into a photo that you're taking of yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
Or a photo that you're taking of somebody else.
Geofilters, the filters, exactly. All of that.
All that stuff is just like me saying, I want me to look different on a computer.
Yeah.
And that's like basically what this is kind of like.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
it's just evolved from, okay, now I need to be the one to like take this or like take a photo using my phone or I need to do whatever. And then now I can actually just like skip a step of that. And I can actually just like say, I actually want to do this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Or like, you know, trying to think of something else that like, you know, even like Shazam or something like that is a kind of like a form of AI. Cause you're basically saying, okay, like I want to listen to this song.
Yeah.
And then it just turns it like it's prompted by something in the actual world and says, okay, I'm going to not create the song, but I'm going to create a way to find what that song is.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's as like groundbreaking and different. It's just like super modern and new and crazy to think about because it affects so much. Cause like the tool of Snapchat isn't like, this is a utility and I need this for like everyday work kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it enhances my human experience. I think something like this enhances the human experience through like creating some type of artificial build around what I'm telling
the
machine to what that is.
Yeah, which is like good for leisure, but then also like think of B-roll footage that like means nothing usually, right? But someone has to shoot that. Like a drone has to go out and someone has to like actually make that happen.
Yeah.
Versus if I can just type in like San Francisco
bridge backdrop. Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? And then that just comes up, right? So that eliminates the need for someone to power that drone, edit that B-roll footage. We don't need that anymore. Or like stock photography.
Yeah.
Like I can just type in black man wearing, what I mean? Walking down street. And then it's like, okay, now I no longer need to hire that model, that photographer, that set designer, that editor. That cuts out like four or five, man. I don't know. I don't know if we're going to have any kind of regulations for this or if it's just going to be like a Wild West territory.
Yeah.
But number one, I think we need regulations for like how this is used and then also how you detect this.
Yeah.
Because like if I can type in a video and make you kill somebody on camera, very drastic example, right? But like 10 years from now, if the tech is there, How do what goes on there?
How will you know if I did it?
Yeah, will you know? You'd be like, it's a movie, Your Honor. It's a movie. No. It's like, he did it.
It's very true.
Yeah, it's scary stuff, man. I don't know.
It's very interesting. But I think, again, like, from what we've learned in the last, like, 10 or 15 years after being exposed to things like Snapchat or Instagram and other things where, like, we can, like, kind of alter reality through our computer. Like, this will probably be a similar type of thing, but this just has more of, like, a tangible, like, service attached, or 100%. The potential of a tangible service being attached to this in our industry, which I find very, very interesting. There's a lot of really cool shit, man, like, with, like, AI and, like, virtual reality and stuff like that. Like, there's, like, these, like the Apple headsets or whatever.
Yeah.
You can, like, put one of those things on, and you can actually, like, be in an NBA game or something like that. That's crazy. Totally changed the entire experience. But,
It's only going to get better, brother.
It's all going to get better, hopefully.
Hey, let me go on this quick little rant on a different topic.
All right, here we go.
Sports betting, man. We've talked about it. Listen, I'm not just a hater because I've never won. I've actually never tried either.
Right.
But I think we need to understand what's going on right now, because after the Super Bowl, like, people like Drewski, you know, people like some other kind of YouTube content creators, Ruby Rose, it's like a rapper and a model. They're all talking about, like, oh, they hit these $1 million parlays on whatever sports betting app, right? Yeah. And I'm like, maybe they're geniuses. Or maybe
they're bullshitting.
They're bullshitting, and this is all an ad. They're sponsored. They're being paid by Prize Picks or Bet365 DraftKings or whatever it is. And they're creating what looks like authentic content, right? This person just hit a $1 million parlay. Why would I not try?
Yeah.
Or, like, they're posting their bets, you know, like Drake always talks about, like, after UFC, he wins $2 million.
Yeah, yeah.
Every single time he wins $1 million, or I lost 500,000, whatever. I don't think that's your money.
Yeah.
I think this is all an ad, and this is going to come out eventually, and it's very disingenuous. Maybe I'm on some hater shit, but I don't think that's real. And I think we're creating, like, a society of people that are going to be very addicted to gambling. A younger generation addicted to gambling.
Hard to disagree.
Yeah.
Really, really hard to disagree. And it's, I get sports betting because it's, like, a huge revenue generator for, like, like, consuming sports and entertainment, all that kind of stuff.
I get the appeal, 100%.
I get it.
Yeah.
The dangerous part about what you just described is that, like, these celebrities often, if it is true, assuming that it is true, that there is, like, they have the money to lose, right? Yeah, they can say, oh, if I lose $1 million, whatever. You know what I mean? All these, like, big companies that, like, I'm doing likely a partnership with are either giving me this money to, like, advertise their success, or it's their own money that they can afford to lose,
right?
Kind of thing, right? And I think that, like, things like this should definitely be monitored, because it technically is advertising.
It is,
the way that I see it. It's like you're a celebrity and you're talking about a service that you use. It's not like, hey, I'm taking an Uber, or I really like this brand of orange juice, or, like, I don't know, you know what I mean? You're like endorsing a product. You're like an everyday product that's like whatever. But it's like, when you think about it, they're just talking about a platform that they're using, right? Yeah. And that technically is an ad. And obviously they have a ton of influence over, like, a specific generation. Like Drewski, for example, is like a huge popular guy, right? Yeah, he's a hilarious guy. He's a personality.
Yeah.
But, like, I agree with your point that, you know, people look at things like that and are like, oh, I need to do something with this, or I need to bet things that I don't have, or, you know, there's all these ads coming out now about, like, responsible gaming and all that kind of stuff, which I'm like, I think that you should do, but, like, that is your PR of saying, we recognize that there probably is an issue here.
Yeah, they're trying to cover their own ass.
Exactly, that, right? Which is, like, hard, but the mandatory services for a sports betting company, for sure.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I feel like it's a dangerous territory. I don't do any sports betting because, like, one, I'm, like, legally not allowed to bet on a lot of sports. But then two, I'm also like, it's just not my area of interest. I'll be 100% honest. Like, it's really easy to lose money. It's really easy to fuck up. And it's like, you know, why would I do that when I have money that I can spend on other things. Like things right. that I know will give me some type of like actual benefit. I don't have a problem. Like a few of my friends do a lot of sports betting.
Yeah.
But it's like gambling with like credit that they have or money that they have, like that they've just put in like $50 or $100 or something like that. And then
they don't mind.
They just use that. They go up and down with that forever. Right. Cause like they never really hit anything big, but then right. they never like lose a ton of money.
Yeah.
And like that's fine to me, but it's like a lot of people, like I can definitely see the appeal of getting sucked in and being like, oh,
putting,
okay, I gotta,
putting their rent money in there, yeah. like really going totally. In, you know?
There's yeah. a meme, it's so funny, where it's like, you just want $1 billion. Like, yeah, what do you yeah. want to get with it? And it's like, I'm going to buy a house. I'm going to buy a boat. And then it's like, one guy's like, $1 billion parlay.
I got a parlay like, going. Yeah.
I'm like, that's so, so funny. But yeah. I'm like, yeah, it's dangerous,
it
man.
It starts
but
with
I,
the memes, man. But memes reflect reality sometimes. Yeah, so like,
I definitely think you know? That like there needs to be some type of like serious regulation on top of what's happening right now.
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Okay, let's wrap up our last topic of the day. Let's this is kind it, of an interesting one here. So you hear a lot of talk about brands trying to reach a new target audience in Gen Z, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's like the main thing that everybody talks about these days. Every major brand's like, well, how
what's
do we
Gen
ask,
Z doing?
You know, what are they doing? Like, how yeah. can we, you know what I mean? And my question to you is like, if we're trying really hard to reach Gen Z, are we doing it in a way that actually like actually
yeah reaches
them, yeah. in a way that's accessible, right? And I'm not talking about like throwing up an ad
on TikTok
or I'm not talking about like building a TV commercial, because the example that I have here is that like BMO recently like I guess hired like this rapper, I don't know what his name is, man. BB no dollar
no
sign.
Dollars
BB no money. No money.
Interesting.
I don't know, something like that. Like yeah, I actually yeah, listened yeah. to a few of his songs. Oh, so it's like I know like he's kind of like a pop rapper or something. Okay. Like I don't know, like
yeah.
Not a big fan, but whatever. But he stars in this new BMO commercial about like paying off your credit card bill or something. Like the whole concept of the song is him rapping about like getting his finances in order and stuff like that. Which like it's not a terrible ad, okay, like okay. it's not yeah. bad. But like their whole thing, like when I read the article, was like, oh, like we're trying to reach Gen Z through like a way that's like, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
I'm like, that makes sense. But like when you think about it, when you actually think about it. Does this do anything for Gen Z? Because I think it totally misses the point and yeah. totally misses the format. Like I'm not watching, like the difference between like a TV commercial that comes on that has just a regular ad. It plays a 15-second ad about paying off your credit card.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then the same ad with like emojis on it, like in certain places or something that's relevant to me, that to me doesn't make me say, oh, this ad gets me, I want to purchase a new fucking credit card for
very
BMO.
Surface level.
It's very like, yeah. oh, well, okay, we're adding elements of what Gen Z or millennials do like.
Yeah.
Like that should do the trick, right?
That's I don't think that's what marketers do, man.
I know. It's like I'm like you're not actually doing the job here, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You're not
yeah.
actually like you're just doing the same thing but putting like a different like filter over top, but it's like
for the kids. Yeah,
exactly. But yeah. it's like you're not reaching Gen Z because Gen Z's still not fucking watching cable television.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
what I mean. Yeah. Like it's so dumb, and so like throwing that same fucking ad on TikTok isn't yeah. doing anything for it.
Doesn't work there. No,
the Drewski thing talking about sports betting and shit like that is more something. Of a, yeah. that does something. That's an ad. That's a real ad, but it's like in the format and context of like what new marketing is today.
Yeah.
Right?
So it's like our marketers out of touch because they have a very simplistic view of how to market to Gen Z.
Yeah, I think marketers
a very outdated view, I should say, as well.
Totally. You know? I think marketers are extremely overrated. A lot yeah, of people like yeah. try and think of like use data and all this kind of stuff to like sound smart and to like inform what they do. But I'm like, you actually don't know this shit. It's yeah. like if we're talking about like doing something different and like the format of a traditional ad to like appeal to Gen Z,
yeah.
you're not actually doing the right thing. You should be scrapping that format altogether and thinking about an actual different way to do it. But if you're talking about an advertisement,
mm-hmm.
that needs to be done in the context of what's relevant to that market. And that sounds very simple,
yeah.
but I'm sorry, like putting fucking emojis flying on the screen
yeah,
that's versus not doing
very
it.
Cheesy.
It's
very
the,
cheesy.
It doesn't, that to me doesn't say, oh, this brand gets me now because it's yeah. telling, it's showing me something that I know and I'm used to in a different context. Like you need to rethink that entire format.
Bro, you know what would be really interesting to lean off what you just said is like, what would be the updated list of brands that Gen Z, so what, like 18 to 26 or something like that, resonate with?
Yeah.
Because for us, our generation is very different. You know what I mean? But like, what are the, I feel like Duolingo is probably one of them.
Yeah.
You know, you see Duolingo trending on TikTok all the time, getting a BBL, like the mascot's getting a BBL on TikTok, like, yeah, as like a joke.
What the fuck,
but that's
dude.
What goes viral, and that's what they love. And Duolingo's right. in the comments of other brands, and they're having conversations.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I hate all of this, but it works.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe we follow up on the next episode. I'm sure people have done research on that. What are like the top 10 brands that have the biggest grasp on like Gen Z right
We're
now.
Like, oh, I actually fuck with that. And it's where probably like them. Whatever those Stanley mug things, yeah. like those big ass yep. things where yep. I'm like, and guess what? They just kind of like switched up their marketing and we're yeah. like, you know what? We should probably do things a little bit differently and talk to different people.
Bro.
And they
I don't know
came
what
up.
They did, man.
Bro, they went crazy. They yeah. that brand has been around forever.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it just
yeah. what happened? People are like fighting each other in stores for it.
Yeah, because they switched up and they were like, okay, we need to like actually like think about reaching people differently, and they yeah. did it in a way that's like authentic and real to like what that target demo like wants and does.
Not a commercial with emojis.
No, exactly. You know what I mean? It's like that's the type of stuff that I feel like is really interesting. I think we should do a part two of this.
We have to, because yeah, that's a good topic.
Because it's really interesting to like dive deep into like brands that are like really, really popular amongst, you know, young people. Like
what I have they do, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like I'll save this for another episode, but it's yeah. like brands that like you don't actually think. Like the brands that are most successful are the ones that like market very little
yeah.
or market in a way that's like, okay, like how are we gonna fucking do this shit? You know what I mean?
Hey man, that's a good follow up. We'll get our stuff ready for that one.
Yes sir, man. But
episode two.
That was episode two, season six. Here we go,
yes,
man.
Sir, yes sir.
Only like a couple weeks or basically a week and a half left of Black History Month. So
hey, make sure y'all are doing something important for Black History Month.
Do something important, man.
My email transfer is open.
Yeah,
my transfer.
Yeah. Oh man. But thank
pay my
you.
Rent.
Yeah. Save a black. Pause.
Yo, we yeah. out.
We out. Thank you so much for listening. More great content on the way. You already know what it is. Episode three loading. We got some good topics to jump off into next time. But thank you so much for listening. Have a good morning, afternoon, evening, and good night.
Peace.